This is Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, and today we have an interview with a man that is really taking the government by the horns and is challenging the system. He's a naturopathic doctor who has seen God do some amazing things, but now he wants to bring health to where it's needed the most in the government. And so we're going to talk about some of these things that have just happened in the state of Oklahoma, and we'll be talking with Dr. Mark Sherwood right after this.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For example, you can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 a set. That's a savings of 60% and the lowest price in history. And remember, they're made with the world's best cotton, grown where the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet. They come with my 10-year warranty, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
We want to thank MyPillow for sponsoring the Charisma Podcast Network. Go to MyPillow.com to receive the Giza Dream Sheets for 60% off. You will receive a set for as low as $39.99. Also, for a limited time with any purchase, you will receive Mike's softcover book absolutely free when you use the promo code CHARISMA. Once again, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code CHARISMA or call 800-598-1793 for this amazing offer. Well, this is John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast, and with me is gubernatorial candidate Dr. Mark Sherwood. He's a naturopathic doctor, movie producer, author, and all-around nice guy, and is a former SWAT officer. He's done so many different things, and now he's thrown his hat in the ring to try to make a difference in the legal system, or at least the government system in the state of Oklahoma. So, Dr. Mark Sherwood, it is great to have you here, my friend.
John, it's great to see you. Super honored to be with you. You look great, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Dr. Mark, you know, I've known you as a doctor for a number of years now, but how does a doctor decide I'm going to run for governor? Like, what? How did this come about? Because that's kind of a big step.
Yeah, it is. I think, but it boils down to this, John, you know, God has called us as healers. That's one of the giftings that we have. And it's taken me a long, long time to really walk in that, understand that, embrace that. You know, we all talk about the anointing of God, you know, and all of that. But when the power comes, when you acknowledge it, not that when you just see it, but when you acknowledge it, where it comes from. So God has anointed us to be healers to people. And the call that God gave us was to obedience to step into this race. It wasn't about winning or losing. That wasn't the point. The point was, is will you be obedient to the call for the next step of your life? And our job now is to bring healing and hope, if you will, not just to the physical health of people, as we've always done. And we've always done the emotional and spiritual healing of people because they're all together. But now he's called us to do that at a state level and bring some healing governmentally to the people of the state of Oklahoma.
That's awesome. So why did you decide to go for the first time you're running for public office for the highest seat in the state? Why not something local, something and just building your way up? How did you know that God was calling you to run for governor?
Well, there was a lot of things that happened way back in the springtime of 2021. First thing that happened, I sensed God was calling me to run for office. And I told my wife. I didn't know what that was about.
That's a great first step, is telling your
wife. Didn't know what she's going to say, slap me or throw something at me or what. But no, she's amazing. She said, I'll support you in whatever you do. And I didn't have a clue what I was supposed to run for. I didn't really think that far. I thought I was compelled to tell her that. Mm-hmm. And so we had settled that whatever God led us to do, we would do. And so a few weeks go by, and we're still kind of in the late spring, early summer of 2021. And somebody reached out to me randomly on Facebook and said, you need to run for governor. I'm like, whatever. And so a couple weeks go by, somebody else reached out and says, you need to run for governor. I'm like, whatever. And so it happened about three times with three different people who didn't know each other as best I could tell. So I kind of blew it off. And then I was speaking at a church in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I was there, and we were just in worship time, you know, kind of pre-preaching time. And a lady comes up and had a word, and she said, "I don't know who you are, but you got an anointing on you of a Jethro." And I'm thinking, Jethro Bodine? What are you talking about?
I'm thinking, this is not cool. Oil in them thar hills, yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm thinking, what is this? So I'm like, well, okay, I appreciate that. And then I'm sitting there just kind of praying through this, thinking, okay, Jethro went to Moses and said, this is how you really organize things and govern things. And I'm thinking, this is getting really bizarre right now. And so then the same day, a little bit later, same service, a guy comes up and says, you need to step out and do what you're called to do. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, now I'm listening. And this is really happening. I'm right in the middle of this sort of turmoil, right? And it turns out that guy that came up was a state senator. And the lady that came up was the executive assistant for another state senator.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. And then, wouldn't you know it, I just sat on it for a little bit. And a couple of days later, somebody else reached out through media and says, you need to run for governor. And then I thought, well, okay. I wonder if anybody's even interested in that, because I'm a political newcomer, you know, who would be even interested? And I was in Michigan at the time. And this is where it gets even more bizarre. So I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm not going to do anything, but you put something out there along the lines of, what do you think about Mark Sherwood running for governor? Okay, deal. So he puts it out. And of course, you know how media is. It's better than juvenile rumors. It just goes around, boom. You know? And so I'm in the state of Michigan. It already gets back to several people in Michigan while I'm there at a conference. And so I'm downstairs, and I run into a campaign manager of a person that's actually running for state Senate, or for Senate, the national Senate in Oklahoma. And he says to me, hey, is that true? And I said, well, I'm just looking into it. You know, I want to see if anyone's interested. And I said, what do you think about that? And he goes, well, he goes, we support you, but, you know, we're just concerned about the state GOP chairman might want to run. Right. And he said, we got to just figure out who's going to run and who's what. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I know that guy. His name is John, you know, like yours. And keep in mind, we're in Michigan, right? And so I'm not in Oklahoma at this point. And so I said, yeah, I said, I think it'd be good. And the guy says, well, let me ask John and see what John's going to do, and then we'll figure out how we're going to game plan this thing. I'm like, okay. So we finished out our day. And at the end of this day in Michigan, my wife and I are leaving this conference, and we're always around people because people always want a piece of you, you know? But this time we weren't. We were riding up the escalator by ourselves, this escalator. And at the top of the escalator, there stands John, the Oklahoma GOP chairman in Michigan.
Wow.
And they're like, listen, looking at me. And I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, this is John right here in Michigan. And the first thing I said is, well, what are you doing here? He said, I'm here for the conference. And he said, I ain't running. You're the man. Just like that. And I'm like, wow. Okay. And so at that point, that was like, Mark, would you not be ignorant anymore? Quit ignoring it. Just say yes. And so that was it. That's how it started. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. Didn't really know what I was getting into. But that's kind of how God is, you know? He doesn't tell you the whole story because he wants to know if you're willing. It's like Isaiah, here I am, send me, you know? I'm right. Like this willing guy. And he did, and he has. And it's been extraordinary. I've learned so much, grown so much, and I've seen and experienced the anointing of God in a way that I never have, probably in my life. Wow. But with every speech I've given, every one of them, sorry.
It's all right. You're getting emotional. I can feel the Lord moving in the studio as we're talking about this. Like there's a holy reverence as you're talking. You know, you put out all these different fleeces, and God just kept answering, yes, yes, yes. And
he did.
Now you're doing what God's called you to do, and you're being obedient. And that is a tremendous, tremendous example for how we need to walk. I mean, it's a scary thing. You've never done politics before.
No.
God is leading your step one step at a time.
He is, and it's given me great privilege to, every time I've talked, I've been able to say two things. And the first thing is I boldly, unashamedly profess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I do that every single solitary talk. I don't care who I'm around. I don't care what group I'm in front of. I do that. And the second thing, I acknowledge my wife and what she is to me. And I call her, you know, she's not my spare rib. She's my prime rib. And people love that. Yeah. And so those two things has given us an opportunity to share the gospel. And even at one meeting, a campaign meeting, I was able to share my testimony and have an altar call. So it's wow. been, who does that, right? How's that happen?
We
haven't been part of the establishment at all. We've done things our way and God's way, and no apologies.
Well, I think what you're doing is you're putting the Lord first in that, and you're using this platform as running for governor as a way to advance the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You know, it could be easy to advance the kingdom of the government, and you could say, I'm trying to separate these things and stay focused on that. But really, you're staying focused on what is most important. And you know that God, as it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. And as you're doing what you feel God telling you to do and taking that platform and sharing the gospel, and like God, it's his favor. It definitely is. And he's bringing these things to you. And I got to know, like, when is the actual election? I just want to make sure that everybody is aware of that so that they can be praying. And also, like, how are you doing in the polls right now?
Yeah, the primary is June 28th, and there's four persons in the primary, inclusive of the current incumbent. I call him Rhino Governor, but typical standard stuff. But all the polls we're at least number two, with an occasional poll of us being number one. So we're right there. And
wow.
Again, I haven't worried about it one bit. I mean, it sounds bizarre. I mean, people said, were you going to have a poll watching party? I'm like, no, I'm probably going to go home and have a quiet night with my wife, and you can call me in the morning. I mean, really not concerned about it, because I'm not about the celebrityism, the
right.
Money, power, fame, temptation, because that's exactly what this is. And that's the problem mm-hmm. with politics, because if you have to turn in the people that donate money to you. You know, that's public information. A lot of people don't know that. So if you wonder what drives the bus, look at the campaign donations for the particular candidate, and right. you'll see where their loyalties lie. And that's why there's so much compromise in the government right now, because they'll do anything to get elected. And I was told, man, when I first jumped into this is funny, but not funny. Mm-hmm. Sought out some campaign consultants, because again, I didn't know what I was doing. First one I went through, I had my speech prepared, you know, all we're standing for, what we're going to do to save Americans, save Oklahoma. I'm like, got this down. I'm excited about it. The person says to me, I don't care about that. How much money do you have? And I said politely, none of your business. And of course, I finished the conversation and that person left. And then the next one came in and did the same thing. And he didn't say, I don't care about that. He goes, but what I need to know is, how much money do you have? And I said, well, what I need to know is, you can do a math problem. I want you to count how many steps it takes you to get out of my office. And then the last three, I wasn't nice at all, because I realized that I cannot do it like that. And if we do it like that, man cannot have two masters.
It's
God or money. And money must not be used as a prerequisite for being a servant of the Most High God. I mean, come on, does that even make sense? Did Moses have to have money to get promoted to lead the people of Israel? Did Daniel have to get money to get promoted to be an influential government change agent in Babylon? Well, the answer to both is no. Mm-hmm. And I could go on with Joseph. You know, that guy was thrown in the pit, you know, and falsely accused, et cetera. But he was still elevated. So it doesn't take money. It takes God. And I would rather lose an election and keep my integrity than win an election and lose my integrity.
Absolutely. And that integrity is so important. I mean, go figure. That's kind of like a novel idea in politics, is actually having integrity all the way through the process, because it's so easy to just bend and to, you know, just a little bit of leaven leavens the whole loaf, right? I mean, that's going to start a big snowball effect, really. And that's awesome that you've taken that stand from the beginning, from the get-go, that you're not going to succumb to that pressure. And you're pulling it at number one and number two. I mean, that's an incredible testimony right now.
So, well, God's moving mountains. It's pretty cool to watch, because they try to suppress us for like a whole bunch of months. You know, like, just ignore them, they'll go away. But then when you become a force to be reckoned with, they'll still try to ignore you. They won't give any media coverage at all. But then when you become a force to be reckoned with, that's in reality, they get scared and they start trying to attack you. But that's their strategy. Ignore, dismiss, attack. Ignore, dismiss, attack. And, you know, and I figure they attack Jesus too, so I'm probably on a good path, you know.
Yeah.
It's been hard, man. I tell you, the threats, the nastiness we've seen has been shocking and very grievous to me, what I've seen. Very grievous.
Right, right. So, Dr. Mark, I want to hear, what is your platform? What is your vision for the state of Oklahoma?
Well, I've got several points, but I want to make this from a broad state, broad swath standpoint. Number one, the governors and the sheriffs, this is very important, are probably the two most important elected positions in these United States, because the states are individual sovereign states. And that's what the 10th Amendment clearly lays out. The majority of the people don't know that. So the people and the states retain the power unless they specifically give it over to the federal government. And the federal government only has certain powers in Article 6 of the Constitution. There's only like 18 that Congress has, not 180. Mm-hmm. And basically what they can do is they can do treaties. They can, you know, support military, collect taxes, things like that, right? And so the states need to embrace the idea that the federal government doesn't really have authority over the states. Mm-hmm. So we have to make the states and the people first bigger, the federal government smaller. Now, in the state of Florida, the governor there, DeSantis, and I believe he's done a pretty good job of pushing back and indicating what principles he stands upon by way of invoking and standing upon the 10th Amendment, standing up for the people. And I feel like he's done a really good job. But the rest of the governors around these United States, I have to go, what are you thinking? And so I want to bring the Constitution back and make sure that it's honored and protected. We need to bring God back. And it's not about pushing my faith on anybody else, John. It's about understanding that God birthed the idea of this republic on which we now stand. Mm-hmm. And God was the inspiration behind the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, et cetera, and all the amendments. And that God is the one that gives us the rights, not the Constitution. So those principles need to come back. And then the people need to become a voice again. And one of the platforms that's been so controversial, on which I've stood on, is the idea of abortion. I believe abortion needs to end yesterday, all of it. And as me being a product of a less than ideal situation, that would be at least a statutory rape, if not more. I am not a mistake, neither are you. Mm-hmm. And even the people out there that, you know, bash me and call me woman hater, I love them and appreciate them because they have an opinion, and they're actually on my team too. They just don't know it because they want to be heard. But anybody that has an opinion is actually pro-life. So I respect that. And so the idea behind that, though, is we have made an abortion was never legalized by the federal government. It was an opinion that was erroneous by the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. That needs to be known. And it doesn't matter what Justice Alito does or does not do, whether he offers an opinion of change of their opinion, it doesn't matter. It's always been a state issue. Absolutely. We never had to have it, and we have acquiesced our responsibility over to the federal government. So we want to be able to push back against federal government overreach. own and understand state autonomy, state sovereignty. And I want to create an environment in Oklahoma where we can be energy independent, economically independent, agriculturally independent, so that we're not dependent upon federal funds to just survive, because that's the bridge that leads into overt tyranny. And we are on the edge of that right now.
You know, Dr. Mark, as you were talking about your vision for the state of Oklahoma, I was just thinking about how, you know, these states don't recognize their identity as states, as sovereign states. And just like that, so many people don't recognize their identity as sons and daughters in Christ. And when you walk in that, your proper identity that God's given you, and in the government situation where the Constitution has given those rights there, when you don't walk the proper place, you walk in with your head down, your shoulders down, and you let somebody else run all over you. So I love that you're helping bring identity back to the state of Oklahoma, as you're also bringing people identity in Christ. So
yeah, that's true, because I'm not scared of these clowns at all.
Yeah.
Don't really care too much what they think. I really don't. And I look at them like, you uncircumcised Philistine, who do you think you are? You know, I'm serious. I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why we bow down to them and worship their feet. I am not into the celebrity politician nonsense, because I'm a man of God. I'm a child of God. I know who I am, and I'm all about representing the people, and even the people of God for sure. But even the people that are not of God, I still want to represent them and love them. I want to stand in the gap and interpose on their behalf to a tyrannical government that's trying to take away the very freedoms they have. And sometimes I feel like Moses, you know, let my people go. Mm-hmm. And my people don't want to go because they're in bondage. So I fight that battle every day. You know, some want to go some days and some they don't. But hopefully, in Jesus' name, we'll be able to lead them all out of that bondage one day soon.
Amen. Before we wrap up here, Dr. Mark, you know, just Wednesday night, there was another shooting, but this time at a hospital in Oklahoma. You know, a man who had been treated by a doctor had issues with that doctor and actually pretty much hunted him down in the hospital and killed a number of people in the wake of that. You know, this whole gun issue is really prevalent in our nation right now. But since that happened in your, not your backyard, but, you know, in your state that you are believing that you're going to be representing in the highest office in that land, what is your response to these things that are happening, specifically that one?
Funny you should ask, because where I sit right now in my office, the shooting scene is less than a mile away from me.
Oh, wow.
Right down the road. And so we have answered these questions from the media a few times today. I've been pro-2A the whole time. When I say 2A, I'm talking about Second Amendment. I do not believe that taking guns away from people is the answer. I see the long-term consequences of that resulting in nothing more than the communist, Marxist, socialistic mentality. So I don't think that's all the answer. I think we have to heighten security, for one. And I know the schools is a big issue. Should we arm teachers? Should we not? We need to make sure that the security at the hospital are more concerned about violence than they are about those stupid masks, right? We should not become the mask police. We need to become the police that protect and serve the people, for God's sake. And I've seen that happen. We've transitioned this stuff to being scared to confront people for the real issues. We need to be vigilant, and I believe that tightened security is probably the issue. Using some of the money we're using to fund Ukraine probably could be used to fund security and special details to protect our schools or hospitals or people. And it makes no sense to me, while we're trying to federally fund and bring arms to people in Ukraine, but we're complaining about they're not doing background checks on them, you know, and then over here, we're saying, you know, take the guns away. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what the answer is, John. I think we have to be early warning signs to pick up on these mentally disturbed people is good. But this guy, according to reports that I just was told less than 2 hours ago, he went to the store here in Tulsa and bought the gun and the ammunition at 2:00 p.m. So you had just a little window of time here. Like, 2 hours plus to go in there and commit these horrendous violent crimes. And so, you know, people push back on the idea of background checks or slowing down purchases. And I have too. But I tell you why, I'm in the middle of kind of a prayer time on that right now. Just trying to go, okay, Lord, what is the answer? Because I believe in God, there is answers. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that cooler heads will prevail, that God is glorified in this, and that we make decisions as a whole, entirety of society, that don't take away from our societal protections, but actually add to them.
Amen. You know, Dr. Mark, as you just were giving that response there, I think you said something that, in my opinion, qualifies you to be the governor of Oklahoma more than anything else. And that's you asking the Lord, what is your opinion on this? What is right about this situation? So you're humbling yourself before the Lord and asking what he wants in this situation, not what Mark wants, not what Democrats, not what Republicans, not what independents want, but what God wants. And as believers in Christ, we should all be trying to align up with the Word of God and what he wants. You know, the election is just over 3 weeks away as we're recording this. What is your biggest prayer request right now that our audience can join you with?
Well, I think resilience, because it's wearing, it's tiring, it's, you know, I don't like all the names I've been called and the way my Lord and Savior has been torn apart by people and has been cursed out by people, and it's not fun. There's nothing fun about it. So I think resilience is the key prayer, along with the idea of perseverance, you know, that we will not stop in doing good, that we'll persevere so that my wife and I's character in God grows. And again, the election result has always been in his hands. It remains in his hands, and we trust him for direction in that. But we want to maintain our closeness with God and growth with God, at least for the next 3 weeks and beyond.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'd love to touch base again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And just hear a good report of what God has done. And Dr. Mark Sherwood, thank you so much for being on the Charisma News podcast. Thank you for what you're doing for the kingdom of God in the realm of health, mental health, physical health, spiritual and emotional health, and now government health. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mark, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Charisma News podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this story, please check out other podcasts that we have for more inspirational content.